Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
You're using the federal pharmacy program, which was supposed to establish more equity, especially for communities of color. Dr. Celine Gounder has called the move to prioritize teachers anti-equity since most teachers are white. And it's taking away from those people who are underserved. So what is the administration doing to make sure teachers and these people who are underserved will have the same access to vaccines?
Well, first, we simply disagree, and not just me or the president, but the head of our equity task force and our health and medical team for a couple of reasons. One is it's critical to remember that the program is beyond teachers. It includes bus drivers, janitorial workers, childcare workers, a workforce that is broadly incredibly diverse.
So did we just hear the question, how are you getting these vaccines to people who are of community of color? And she said, it's not just teachers, it's drivers and janitors that include people of color. I don't really think that that would play well in a different administration saying those words. Kayleigh McEnany were answering a question. And the question was, you know, teachers, that's a very largely white community. And this was supposed to, you're supposed to establish more equity for communities of color. What are you doing to do that? And they say, well, this bill helps not just teachers, but bus drivers and janitors and child care workers. And you identify that as community of color. What? I don't understand. What are you saying, Jen Psaki? What aren't you saying, Jen Psaki? Does it matter what you are and aren't saying? Because I know it sure as heck would if it were Kayleigh McEnany. I know it sure would make a big difference if there was an implication that the administration, under Donald Trump, considered those professions, listed those professions off as being the representative community of color that they wanted to reach out to. Is everything that this administration sees first? It doesn't matter the issue. It doesn't matter the policy or the subject. Do they always only see color first? Is that the entire premise? I mean, when you consider their cabinet picks and the way they would present these people, the way that they would introduce the qualified members for the Biden administration's cabinet, it was always about what boxes they would check on a demographics list. That's the most important thing that they would list first. Jen Psaki, on a regular occasion, answers questions with, like, well, you know, she's the first female Treasury Secretary or whatever the issue. Like, so freaking what? Not to mention the fact you can combine it with the other craziness going on that we talked about earlier in the show. What even is female anymore? We're defining something as so important that it's the leading response to questions from our press. Gender, skin color, immigration status. Something that this Biden administration uses as an accessory for their virtue, so that when you hear what they're saying, you go, well, that's just really great. They do really like people, and that makes you like them. Is that how simple-minded we are? We're willing to put the highest level of positions that exist in our country in the hands of people because of their skin color? Or because their skin color isn't a specific color? Or because their gender isn't a specific gender? And what is gender? I don't even know anymore. We'll mix in.
We'll mix in.
Man, I feel like a Maxin.
Whenever you're talking about Jen Psaki saying this quote, it's funny because remember when Joe Biden says poor kids are just as bright as white kids? It's all the same kind of concept. What kind of thinking is this? What are we doing?
It's racial
pandering
classification.
Is what it is. It's the idea. And you know, you make a great point with that comment from Joe Biden on this, on the campaign trail, which is in Joe Biden's mind, he knew what he was thinking. He's supposed to say it in a PC way. He's supposed to present it to you in a way that doesn't make you think that he sees color. But if he does see color, it's for the best. Poor kids are just as bright as white kids. You cannot say, like, that is an insanely insensitive and wrong assessment of the situation. He is in that moment equating economic status with color. Maybe in his mind, if that's what he's saying, it to me, he seems like somebody who will express what's on his mind a little bit quicker than most other people will filter it, because the man doesn't seem to have a very full functioning filter these days. And when he presents that, the left, you know, that's what people call like the quiet part out loud. He's supposed to prepackage that with a pretty bow so that when he hands it over to you, you say thank you, because it makes you feel good. And it doesn't actually solve any problems. Like, there are no issues. There are no problems that are solved by the idea that a person of a specific color, gender, race, creed, orientation, none of that matters to how they can do the job. There was an entire movement based on that simple thought. What do you bring to the table? What is it that you are going to contribute to this situation? What is it that you are going to add that's going to cause this problem that has existed for basically all of time, that's going to make it different tomorrow? We're going to bring you in and you're going to serve in this capacity on a cabinet, or we're going to elect you and put you in this office to serve in this official capacity here. Why is it going to be different tomorrow because you're there? And the Biden administration is, well, she is a woman. It doesn't make any sense. And it's insulting to the idea that that they think that there's somebody out there, like maybe myself as somebody who is a woman, where I would hear that and somehow or another deem that a qualification for anybody to do anything. I always go back to, you know, parenting children. When I look at my kids, I have a son and I have daughters. I don't ever want my daughters to think they're entitled to something or that they're a victim of something just because of their gender. Like, my job is to make them understand that they need to work incredibly hard to get what they want, and to also make them understand there are times you're not going to get what you want. That doesn't make the hard work not worth it. That doesn't mean that there's not something else around the corner that you can apply your hard work to. But there's nothing out there that is waiting for you because you're a girl. And there's nothing out there that you can't have because you are a girl. But that's not what this, you know, the political group that's out there right now who wants to champion gender, they're taking us backwards decades into where you can be something because you are a woman, or you can't be something because you are a man. Am I going to teach my son that lesson? Absolutely not.
Do you think that these people, you know, like you just said, if they introduced you and said, Annie Fry is the new secretary of whatever, she's a woman, you would be offended by that because that would be saying, I did not get this job based on merit. But do you think that these people have so indoctrinated themselves that they think that that is a great reason that they got this job?
Do
you think that these people, when they are introduced, say, Pete Buttigieg, he's the first gay cabinet member, or which he wasn't, but they say these things about these people. This is a woman leading this cabinet position now. That they actually embrace that, that they're not offended by it, that they actually like it, and they think that is a good qualification, that they should have it because of that.
Well, I would be offended if I were introduced to a room as the first female whatever, and I would be offended if somebody had to introduce me as a female.
Yeah.
I don't need, not because I was the first. I think it's notable. I think it's something worth celebrating, but it's not the lead qualification. I also don't need people pointing out that I'm a woman. Like, it goes without saying. And I think that when you introduce somebody to the world, I mean, people aren't doing this in the presence of these individuals. It's on Twitter. It's grandstanding. It's a virtue signaling. That's the issue here. It's like, you get to put a gold doubloon in your virtue signaling piggy bank because you stood on the moral high ground of suggesting that I was a part of putting a woman in this place. Like, Joe Biden, how possessively masculine of you to own this title as you know, especially with like the Pete Buttigieg, the gay thing. That wasn't even a real story. He was the first Senate confirmed openly gay cabinet member, but he wasn't the first gay member to serve, and Donald Trump did that, and he got no praise for that. Mm-hmm. So is it praiseworthy or not? I mean, you would think the presence of having somebody who meets this, you know, historical moment in time, the presence of them in the cabinet would be something to champion, but it's not. It's only that way when it's on a particular side of the aisle. And I don't think anybody wants to be told that they got a position because they could check a box. Mm-hmm. And that virtue signaling could somehow or another be an accessory for somebody else. I mean, I'm not your accessory because, you know, I'm the female talk show host on 97.1. I am a female talk show host. I am the female talk show host on 97.1. But I'm not here, at least as far as I know, just because I'm a female. And if I suck at my job and there's a male out there who is better at what I do and could, you know, garner a larger audience and you know, bring in more money for the radio station so we could all feed our families, somebody out there telling me that I'm here just because I'm female, that would be incredibly insulting to me.
Is the virtue signaling worse now than it has ever been before?
Oh, yeah. Oh, by far. I can't even imagine. And what the scary thing is, what's it going to be tomorrow?
Is it because they think, as Annie pointed out at the beginning of this, is it because people think we're dumb enough to fall for the virtue signaling and that's why it's the worst that it's ever been?
I mean, that's a good question. It seems to me like all of this virtue signaling is getting, and Annie's kind of saying this, it's getting to the point where you're just resegregating everyone. At one point, it was to level the playing field. Now it's to do the opposite. It's to re-put everybody in their individual camps and then tell them what they can and can't do.
Nuts.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Kevin Wheeler is going to join us. There is big news about baseball in St. Louis, and it involves you. Did you know that? We're going to talk about that with Kevin Wheeler, as well as a good Blues win last night and what's going on at spring training. Kevin Wheeler, sports reporter with KMOX. When we come back, don't go away. Welcome back to you, the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for spending some of your afternoon with us here on 97.1 FM Talk. We are very grateful for that. A reminder, you can stream the show at radio.com. It's an app you can download on your phone, and you can take the station with you anywhere you go. I want to get straight to our guest, Kevin Wheeler, and we got some fancy for him this time around.
Hey, Annie!
Let's talk a little business of baseball here.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball.
This
no crying in baseball!
Cardinals, Blues, and more with sports reporter Kevin Wheeler.
So, Kevin, you like that? Katie did that just for you.
Man, I feel official and stuff.
Yeah, you finally arrived.
I'm gonna act like super bossy today now because I'm gonna feel too good about myself.
That's good. And don't even tell people why. They should know already.
I never tell people why anything. I'm always gonna be
scared. They're like, oh, he's on one of his trips again. No big deal.
Yeah.
Must be that Andy Vrij Show Thursday hit. Cardinals approved to host fans at Busch Stadium in 2021. This is the best news I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, I wouldn't assume it's gonna be super easy to get tickets right away. But 15,000 is a pretty good number, right? I mean, when we compare it to zero last year, and I didn't know exactly what the number would be. I know we've talked about this a few times with the Blues having some fans at games and stuff that's been happening at Ballpark Village. It figured that there would be fans, but that's a good number, 15,000. I know, you know, everybody wants more, and certainly, you know, we can hope for more later on in the season. You know, if it goes well and, you know, the vaccine keeps rolling out and numbers look good, then, you know, they can obviously expand this as they go. But 15,000 is going to sound like a full sellout when it comes to opening day, I'm sure.
Yeah, what does it mean to the players? They're getting to play right now in front of, what, 1,000 or 1,200 fans in Jupiter. I got to think that makes a difference in how they play. You put them in front of fans at Busch Stadium, maybe put a Clydesdale out there or two on opening day. Does that make a difference for the players?
I think so. I mean, look, it's what they're used to, right? I mean, you know, for all of us that come up in the baseball world, you know, when you're young, you're used to nobody being there, right? I mean, like, high school football and basketball are events. You know, the whole school goes, everybody makes noise. Yeah, high school baseball, nobody goes to your games. It's your mom and your dad, and you're lucky if you can convince one friend or maybe a girlfriend to come to a game once in a while, right? It's like a big deal. So when you get into the pro ranks, you start to get a little bit more. The big colleges draw pretty well, too. And you start to get used to it, and then it becomes a part of your routine. I know a lot of players talked about that last year, that the silence was weird. And, you know, you could hear each other's teams talking from the dugout, and it led to some chirping back and forth. But more than anything, what I've heard from all across sports, Annie, is, you know, the coaches, fans, managers, whatever, both said the same thing, that the energy level's different, right? Like, you have to create energy when there's no crowd. You have to bring it yourself and maintain it yourself, where you can feed a little bit off of, well, what will be 15,000 here making noise and be honest, you know, probably more enthusiastic than they would normally be.
Yeah, I would think that it would be, you get used to one thing when you make it to the professionals. And then last year, you got to learn to cope. You got to learn to deal with it. I've been watching a big Illini basketball fan and watching them having this amazing run, watched them beat Michigan earlier this week. And I was just thinking, there is a bit of sadness inside that these big moments for these, you know, kids at Illinois are not in front of just a raucous crowd going crazy. And I would imagine, you know, Nolan Arenado's first at bat in front of 1,000 people at Jupiter, they stood, they applauded. That's a big deal. But even on opening day, any of these things that are muted, it's just kind of a sad situation that it has to be that way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's not much that anybody can do about it, but you're right. It would be much better. And I feel way more sorry for younger athletes who are missing out on opportunities. Because let's be honest, most athletes at the younger levels are not going to play at the higher levels, right? So, you know, and I say that about all the college kids, too, especially the ones whose seasons got completely wiped out, you know, last spring. You know, they don't have that many opportunities. And, you know, when you're a big leaguer, you're going to get more, you know, these.
Did we lose him? Oh, there he is. Kevin, you still there? That sounds like we might be having some trouble with him.
Yep,
let's put him on hold and we'll get back to him. The next thing I'm going to ask him about is, did you see a week or two ago on Instagram, Deidre Pujols put out on Instagram something about how she was really looking forward to the start of Albert Pujols' final season. And it was like, wow, that's weird to have. It's weird to have the wife of a legendary Hall of Fame baseball player and Albert Pujols to come out there and put this news out, because she really did kind of break that news to the folks. And then they kind of started to walk it back a little bit. And when they walked it back, we have recently just heard that it's possible Albert Pujols said to Yadi that, you know what, we really want to, I want to retire together with you. That would be great. And complimenting Yadier Molina as the best catcher that Pujols has seen in his lifetime. Ryan, were you able to see that comment, that Instagram post from Deidre?
I did. And actually, I used to be at a different radio station, and she broke news back then in 2011, too. It's kind of consistent for her. But I didn't know the other part that you just said, that he then came out and said he wanted to play with Yachty. I got excited. I did not hear that.
No, not play. Retire.
Oh, retire with
Yachty. Retire with Yachty.
Oh, well, yeah. Then now I'm not excited.
It's
anymore.
Quite a bit of a different story. Yeah. We're reconnecting right now with Kevin Wheeler, who is our KMOX sports reporter, and he joins us each Thursday to give us a little bit of an update. We watched the Blues last night and got to see a good game from them. They've really been able to come back, too, and put some of the pieces together, considering that they've had so many different injuries plaguing them as well. So I'll be interested to hear what Kevin has to say about that. You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. I want to thank you for being here. Reminder that you can stream us live on our webcam at facebook.com/AnnieFryShow. Also, on our YouTube channel, Annie Fry YouTube channel. Right now, we are very close to 2,000 subscribers. It's the new community that we're building. And want you to be a part of it. Kevin's back with us. Kevin, sorry about that. Got a little bit of a speed bump there. I thought maybe you were just pumping your chest out a little too much.
So, I know it's really weird.
I was asking about, we were talking a little bit about Deidre Pujols' Instagram announcement about Albert Pujols' retirement, that Albert Pujols did also not announce himself.
Yeah.
And they walked it back a little bit, and we've heard some comments lately that maybe Albert has commented that he wants to retire with Yachty and maybe go into the Hall of Fame together. What is the story surrounding Albert Pujols? Because inquiring minds want to know.
I mean, it is a little strange, right, that, you know, that Deidre Pujols put that out and then a short time later adjusted it. And maybe it's not official, you know. I mean, I think that, you know, Albert's telling the truth, that he's going to want to listen and see what's going on. But I think most people observing the game, not necessarily people that know Albert or are tied in or whatever, and I'm sure they all know better, but I think most of us kind of assumed that this was going to be the last year, in part because of performance. I mean, you know, he referenced it the other day. He's had a lot of problems with injuries since he got to the Angels. You know, he's had leg problems, foot problems. And, you know, when that happens, it's really hard to recover. And when you look at kind of just how his performance has been the last few years compared to the rest of the major league, I'm not sure there's going to be an offer to his liking, even if he wanted to play next year. It's going to be a real tough sell for a guy in his 40s who, you know, has struggled for a number of years now to kind of maintain not just his old production, but, I mean, even maintain league average production has not been there. So it might end up, you know, I hope he has the choice, and I hope that, you know, if he wants to pursue 700 home runs or whatever, that he gets that chance. But I'm not sure that that's an automatic, and, you know, it's a tough time to kind of figure that, too, because teams have been tightening their budgets. So, you know, what's he willing to play for? If, you know, if somebody's going to say, hey, we'll give you a couple $1 million, is that even attractive to a guy that's been paid as much as he has over the years?
You said a guy in his 40s, was it the Mariners GM that was saying, made a comment in an interview suggesting that everybody knows that Pujols' age is not Pujols' age. Do you think that's a big story? Do you think that comment was, you know, earth-shaking across the Major League Baseball?
No, it's a common thing. You know, I've had people with the Cardinals over the years swear up and down that everything was as it's reported. So that's all I can go by is what I've been told, and I've been told that, you know, that his age is what he says it is. But that's not an uncommon belief around Major League Baseball. And the fact that somebody said it out loud in that way was interesting, but it's not an uncommon thing. There are plenty of people in the game that have thought that. And it's not necessarily anything to do with Albert. It's, you know, the way things used to be, and this has been cleaned up a lot, you know, the last 10, 15 years. But the way it used to be is a lot of players, I mean, a really high percentage of players coming out of the Dominican Republic in particular, would change birth certificates to look younger than they are, because that would add value, right? You'd see, people would see more potential in a 17-year-old than a 19 or 20-year-old. So I think a lot of it's just that's where his roots are, and that's where people kind of make assumptions. Mm.
I want to ask you about the St. Louis Blues. Got a good win last night, and they are pushing through a lot of different injuries. And it was also funny to see the Binnington fight the other day where he just was smacking people around while he was going off the ice. And I heard the question that he got asked is like, what was going on there? And he just said, I was pissed. That was his response, basically. Do the Blues have a little bit of fire going underneath them right now, or what's the story?
They must, because they don't have a third of their team, and they're still winning games, right? They've won 3 games in a row. These have not been pretty games either. You know, they had a 7-6 game, a 5-4 game. It's been a little bit all over the place. But I think they deserve a lot of credit. I talked to Doug Armstrong a couple of days ago on Sports Open Line, and you know, he talked a bit about what they're missing and how important it is for, you know, some of the top guys to not try to replace all of the guys that are gone, but just keep playing your game. And the guys that have stepped in, you know, they can't replace the star players that they're stepping in for. They have to play their own game. And, you know, I know that, like, the Ducks, who they play these last couple of games, Anaheim's not particularly strong. They're one of the lesser teams in the league. But, I mean, you're playing with two-thirds of your roster. You know, I mean, Vlad Tarasenko hasn't played in a long time, and he may be back here soon. But, you know, you're without Schwartz, you're without Parikh, you're without Barbashev. I mean, they've got, like, legitimately half of their best players, you know, their top players that are out. And there's something there. I mean, look, Craig Berube's a tough-minded guy. They don't want to make excuses. The players certainly aren't taking it. So I think they're showing us a lot right now, the fact that they're remaining competitive in that circumstance.
Is that similar to the story of the championship run that they had? They got the right people back at the right time, and the fire got lit at the right time. And then, I mean, could we assemble the Avengers of the St. Louis Blues at the right time and make a good playoff run here?
I don't know. You know what? It might come down to looking like that end of end game, right, where the portal's open and all of the people that you need help from are there to help
looking
you.
Looking hopeless.
but instead of, you know, superheroes walking through that door, it's going to be a defenseman and a top six forward and all that. Yeah, you know, that's something they are expecting to get everybody back before the end, right? That's the assumption is that all of these guys will be back before the end of the regular season, which I think is May 8th. But Army mentioned the other day they're hoping by mid-April. So that would give them, you know, a good three and a half weeks to kind of, you know, get back into the flow. And that's having everybody. Like, there'll be some of them back sooner than that. It sounds like Tarasenko is going to be back here in the next few days. And, you know, the other guys, some of them are day-to-day, some of them are week-to-week. But hopefully by mid-April, you'll have the full team there, and then that'll give them some time to kind of catch a flow. I think if they're healthy when the playoffs start, no issues there. I think they're still fully capable of making a big run.
It'll be exciting to watch. One last question before I let you go. It is March now. We're speaking with Kevin Wheeler, the KMOX sports reporter, joins us each week. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a little college basketball, especially since I get to watch my Illini. They're doing a lot of dominating across the league there. And, you know, Mizzou, SLU, they've had good seasons too, some ups, some downs. What do you see coming here in this tournament that I'm very excited is going to actually be in play? We'll get to watch some March basketball.
Yeah, it's going to be entirely in Indianapolis. I'm looking forward to that. That was the win for the Illini the other night at Michigan was one of the best wins by any team at all this season. I mean, that was one of the best performances in college basketball on the year. I mean, that's the number two team on the road without your best player who happens to be a player of the year candidate. And winning so easily was remarkable. I mean, they're going to be a one or a two seed depending on how things play out. So they're solid. Mizzou seems to be in pretty good position. As long as they don't fall on their face here with the game on Saturday and maybe an early out in the SEC tournament, I think they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. I've been reading some of the bracketology here in recent weeks, and they seem to be kind of right on that inside. You know, they're inside and would have to play their way out. And the Billikens are a little bit on the opposite side of that now. You know, their COVID shutdown lasted a month. I mean, they went a month between games, and right after that, it was a little shaky, and they had a rough patch, and they're starting to kind of get it back together now. And who knows? Maybe they're run if they make a run in the A-10 tournament, and they're already in the quarterfinals as the number four seed. Get them in too. I think they're right now, based on, you know, the external analysis, probably on the outside looking in, but they're close enough where they can change that.
Well, it'll be exciting to watch one way or the other, and I'm looking forward to see what Illinois does, especially when they get Desumu back. That's going to be a pretty amazing thing. You get your sixth man out on the floor, and they're doing a pretty good job. Without their best guy, who knows what happens when he comes back. Excited to see it. Kevin, thanks. Glad to have you back. Glad to get you your new intro in. And if you have any changes, you can put them in your contract and Katie will look it over.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll make some amendments and we'll talk.
Only green M&Ms, right? That's what we read.
Yep, that's it.
Thanks, Kevin. We'll talk to you soon. KMOX sports reporter, always great to talk to him. There's a lot of good things going on right now. I mean, even if you're not a sports person in and of itself, in the context of what we talk about on a greater scale each and every day here, a lot of this stuff is signaling a bit of normalcy. And that feels really good to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to be, a nerding out baseball fan to love the idea of people sitting in Busch Stadium for a Cardinals game.
Yeah.
You just need to be red-blooded St. Louisan in order to enjoy that. So I'm looking forward to, I don't know how I'm going to get tickets to that. I'm going to try.
Maybe I'll go beg on the side of the street and just see if I yeah.
go. Go back to that
I'm
sandwich
a poor
board
pregnant
idea.
Lady, and I just need to see one last Cardinals game. Yeah, I'll do what I got to do. I want to go to this game. I really need to. I want to sit in Busch Stadium and watch baseball. Don't you guys? Come on. All right, let's take a quick break, and we're going to wrap it up on the other side of a few minutes here. And then the Dave Glover Show will take over as usual. So stick around. More Annie Fry Show in just a minute. Red, I think I love you. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for spending some time with us. I mean, for me, going to a St. Louis Cardinals game, that's like the thing that I want back. Katie, what's your thing?
Mine has got to be concerts. That is the number one thing I need back in my life.
Are you ready?
See, there's that question that I think I'm ready because I had COVID. But wrapping my mind around the idea of being shoulder to shoulder again with people without masks, I don't know if I'm mentally there. I want to be there, but I just don't. I'm having a hard time. Is it because I'm going to be judged or judging others? Do I feel safe? I don't know.
Hypothetical situation. Katy Perry comes to what's Riverport called?
Verizon,
whatever it is. I don't even
Hollywood,
know. If
that's Hollywood.
Hollywood.
That's what it is.
If Katy Perry is there and you get front row seats free, and they say, "Here you go," but it's gonna be like a normal concert. Are you going?
I can't miss that, can I? I gotta go. I mean, front row
so you
seats.
You have your standards.
I do.
What if it's Charlie Daniels?
You know, I might skip. I might take a rain check on that. Could give them to somebody else.
Is he still playing Riverport?
Giving my husband. I mean, you said it. Are you worried about you or are you worried about what people think about you?
Both. I mean, both. And I'm also not standing by waiting for somebody on the TV to be like, now it's time for you to go out into society. Like, now it's time for you not to wear a mask. I'm not listening to anybody on the TV to have that advice either. I think it's a lot of, it's a big mental thing for me.
So you're at the Katy Perry concert. You're in the front row and there are people packed in there everywhere. Body surfing, you know, the whole Katy
Body
Perry
surfing.
Deal. I've never been to a Katy Perry concert, so I don't know what goes on
Moshing.
With these things.
Mosh pits, none of that.
And more like the Eric Church speed. So you're at the concert and you've had COVID.
Mm-hmm.
What are you worried about?
I don't know. Maybe I'm worried that I'm doing the wrong thing, like that I'm contributing to something that has been told for I'm contributing to something that for the last year people have told me not to be doing.
But what are you contributing to? You had it.
Yeah, is it all
herd
mental?
Immunity? No. I think it's pretty much. But if I did not have COVID, that would be a different situation for me. I think then I'd be a little bit more worried about my safety, or if like I did have COVID and I didn't know it, am I giving it to other people? But since I've had it, I think it's just more of a mental thing for me.
What's your event, Ryan?
Parties for sure.
Ooh.
Party. I mean, I'm not like rave parties, but you know,
oh,
like
you're talking about
just,
raves.
Yeah. As long as it's got a glow stick, that's a party. No, any get together, like even just church stuff. Our church has met. And it's funny that I say parties and then I go to church. Like that's the natural progression.
Too.
But that's kind of what the Body big surfing. Groups that I see is church group and sort of parties like that.
But you're still seeing those people.
We just kind of have started. I'm still seeing the small groups like the, you know, two or three families. But beyond that, we haven't gotten together much except in the last maybe month or so, which and it's been very refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to go to a baseball game.
Yeah.
I'd go to a hockey game. I'd go to a basketball game. I'd go to a football game. I would do any of that stuff right now. I want to go to my son's baseball games that are actually games and not like... like...
Go ahead.
Oh, I will. Thank you for the permission. I appreciate that. Not like the, like on the down low, we're doing this, but it's not sanctioned and we're, you know, like it's, you're outside. It's baseball. You're not standing next to each other. You know, you spread out anyway in the stands and they're 8, 9, 10 years old. It's not a packed event, folks.
I've got a question, Annie. Since you are like, I would go do those things. Is it because you have been to Florida where all of this stuff isn't really happening? Like people are walking around pretty freely and openly, and they're not
I know
really...
that freedom is existing elsewhere, that's for sure. It's not just that, and I would do any of those things right now. I'm 25 weeks pregnant today. I would happily go sit in Busch Stadium, and I would not care if there were people sitting, you know, next to us or whatever. If they were like slobbering all over us, I would care anyway.
No matter what.
I wouldn't be like, I want that back. I kind of think I need it back. And as soon as I was talking to my husband about this the other day, just, you know, when the weather tips into the 60 degree mark, there's something in my psyche every spring that's like, let's start doing stuff. Like, mm-hmm. it's that like come out of hibernation moment where you feel like there are things that I haven't been like, even if I wanted to do them, I couldn't do it for the last season because it's been winter and everything's brown and cold and just really blah.
Yeah.
And like the first one thing that I always think about, especially if I would be driving to St. Louis or whatever, is you go down the highways and you've got all the dead trees or the dormant trees, whatever, but you always have the dogwoods. And this lime vibrant green that just, it's a hue on the trees. It's not leaves that you can see individually. It just, there's this essence of the brightest spring green with the purple of the red buds. And then if it's rained recently, the wood is super dark. It's like one of the most beautiful moments for me of the arc of the four seasons that we get specifically here in St. Louis, sometimes in the same week.
Yeah.
So
Go ahead. Well, it's usually exciting because it happens, that moment you're talking about happens usually overnight. And you wake up and the next day and it's just suddenly like that.
So when it gets to be 60 degrees outside, I went yesterday after the show and I put my dog outside and I opened the sliding door. This is something so simple. And for you people who probably get out a lot more than I do, you're like, okay, anyway, whatever. But I opened the door and I stepped outside and there was not a temperature difference that was noticeable to me from the inside of my kitchen to my deck. And I just like wanted to be in the outside, mm-hmm. and experience the outside. And it's also strange because the timing of this compared to last year, do you ever get that like sentiment of something big happens at a specific time of year for you? Maybe it's like when you're ramping up to wedding planning, or maybe if it was when you had a baby or a grandbaby or started a new job or something. The feeling, the atmosphere around you at that time, when you get back into it the next year, will kind of remind you of like, oh, last year at this time, we were all kind of looking at each other out of the side of our eyes with our jaws starting to drop open a little bit further, like, this thing's really starting to ramp up. Mm-hmm. This thing's really serious. And I think we're probably a week and a week and a half or so away from where I had to go home and broadcast from a 6-foot table in my basement to do this show. And, you know, when you're told that you shouldn't leave your house, then you start thinking of like, well, what are the appropriate ways that I could leave my house? what are the things that we have to do? And going into Walmart for the first time and wearing a homemade mask because you couldn't find masks anywhere. Mm-hmm. If you didn't have them already, you couldn't get them. And it was like a dream. It was like something you dream of and you wake up and you're like, wow, that was the realest thing. That was the most bizarre. Like, can you imagine? I want to wake up from that dream.
Yes.
And I want, when you wake up from the dream, you can still learn from it. We still can be smart about how we go about things. But, you know, for somebody like you, Katie, and you, Ryan, who've had COVID, I just feel like I would have an even more emboldened stance on the issue. I'd wear masks. If somebody wants me to wear a mask when I come into their home, when I come into their business, I don't have any problem doing that. You're not infringing on my freedom because it's your home. It's your place of business. That's your choice. As the person who operates that. But I just feel like that springtime 60 degrees, like, oh, this is really nice. This is really lovely. It is very comforting to step out in it. I'm looking for that for us as a country, for you know, us as a community in the state of Illinois. Missouri, you've been doing a much more open and free way. Just, again, it's always like that. I get it. I understand. I am envious of you. Now everybody go comment on my social media and ask me why I don't just move. The answer is because it's home. And I'm also like 5 and 10 minutes away from my kiddo's grandparents. And that is gold, folks. hopefully you're experiencing some of that springtime resurgence. Hopefully it warms your heart like it does mine, and we'll get there. We'll get there eventually. Stick around. Dave Glover Show coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.